All right, thank you. Thank you for being with us on this special, special day. Thank you so much. We are so honored. We are so honored to, and George, while you're walking, would you just continue to walk up here? Would you welcome Pastor George Moore to the platform? I love giving him orders. So we've been anticipating this day for for a while now. We knew it was imminent, that it could happen at any time. And George has finally decided that this is the time, along with the advice and input from his family. I certainly support this decision, and it's a humble honor to thank George for all of his years of ministry. But most of all, for me, many of you may remember my own father passed away at 58 years old back in 1990. And often I have thought that George, in such a much more positive way, reminds me of my own dad. And there are some that say we even look alike. I don't know. I don't know exactly what that means. But I have... We're dismissed. So I just want to make this comment, and then we've got to move things along because we've got several things we want to do this morning. But what I was trying to say is this. Because George reminds me of my father, but again, in a very different and much more positive and personal way, I have referred to him as my dad, pretend dad, for years. We have spent many hours together. He would say that we've done that as friends, as good friends. But for me, it was much more. So you had the benefit of George, the pastor, and you really benefited from that. And I had the benefit of George, the dad I didn't have for the last nearly 30 years. And he has spoken such great things to me. He has spoken into my life. He has encouraged me immensely. I wasn't sure when he first arrived what kind of a guy he was going to be. And I was a little bit on guard, maybe even concerned mildly. I don't know. It didn't take long, though, for me to realize what a wonderful man and what a great value he was to this body and to the body of elders. So this is just a great privilege for us today to recognize George. I know that this is going to be an encouragement to him in some way. So as we continue this morning, and again, George, I just want to publicly thank you for the blessing you've been in my life. I mean that. And I know I've said it to you privately, but I want it to be known publicly. I love you so much. Okay. I've got four guys that are going to come up, and they're going to make some special presentations. So if I could have Jacob, Brad, Terry Bixler, and Mark, please, to the platform. And Jacob, we'll begin with you.
I'm going to give George the green mic in case he wants to say something.
All right, so George, they let the new guy go first. So this is me. And while I haven't had the wealth of experience with you, as all the other men have, in even the few short months that I've officially been on the pastor's staff with you, and the several years I've known you as a pastor, I've appreciated your wisdom and your wit. And even more, I've appreciated some of the legends and the stories that have been, passed on to me just in a little bit of you. You know, they say like the time that George saved us from this, or the time we were in trouble and George just had the right words. And so I know that as I go forward, I will hear many more of the things you've left for us. So I want to present you with this small token. The man, the myth, the legend. This is for you, George Moore.
You, is this on? Just like Jerry.
Hi.
You can't know how it pleased me. I told the elders about my intention to resign the office probably a year ago. You can't know how pleased I am that the first man brought on to replace me was a PhD.
Well, for those of us that aren't PhDs, I will go next. Many of you know already that Pastor George has a few sayings that have stood the test of time. Perhaps you've been talking to George and having a good conversation, but time has run a little short. You may have heard George say something like this: "Let's finish this conversation over a muffin next week." Or you might see Pastor George in the hallway in passing, and he might say, "Young man, I think it's about time we have a muffin together." Strangely enough, I've never actually consumed a muffin in my 15 years at Berean Baptist Church with George.
Okay, I have to confess then, Brad, I ate all your muffins.
Well, ironically enough, I really don't believe I've actually seen George eat a muffin either. But let me tell you what I have seen over and over again: George engaging in relationships with brothers and sisters in this congregation. Having a muffin with George is being in relationship with him. So you may never see a physical muffin in his presence, but you have likely engaged in a meaningful conversation with him, been encouraged by him after teaching a Sunday school class for the first time, spent time in the Word and in prayer with him while recovering in the hospital, enjoyed hearty conversation and a hearty breakfast with him at a local restaurant on a Friday morning, or had him pray for you as the elders gather around for some difficult challenge in life. In all of these times, you likely would have laughed with him, been challenged by him, and felt loved by him. The metaphorical muffins he has passed out over the years have been a delight to all who have tasted of them. And I am sure that the vast majority, if not all of you, have tasted one of these muffins with George. So, George, realizing that it might be hard to describe to people why you have a golden trophy of a muffin on your mantle or a large muffin paperweight on your desk, we figured we would give to you what any man, young or old, new in ministry or toward the end of their ministry, figured that we would give you muffins that you could eat. And then I would just like to end by saying this. On behalf of all the elders and the congregation as well, we look forward to sharing a muffin with you soon.
You know, Jerry, if I had known that George was going to be armed up here with a microphone, I don't think I would have volunteered. I thought it was just going to be a one-way dialogue. George, I've been asked to give you what we are lovingly calling therapy. I'm not sure if it's going to be more for you or for Jackie as you spend more time at home, but I'm sure you're going to find a lot of comfort in it. But to honor the theologian in you, I decided to do just a quick exegesis on the name, Blanket, and on your name. Help lead into my comments. The word blanket, its origin is in the German and came into Old English. The blanket is a large piece of material that keeps you warm when taking a nap. We figured that would come in handy, knowing that little bit of information. And the word George comes from the Greek. It's two words put together in the Greek, but it means hard worker, a worker of the earth, or a farmer. Often seen with a blanket, in case he needs a nap. But I think it's a wonderful summary of your ministry here. The blanket, the idea of a nap, But more importantly, the idea of the blanket just shows how much warmth and comfort you provided to the members of the room over your ministry. The wonderful image of your ministry here with us. But there's also some other similarities. Blankets are large, and you're large. Your ministry was large. You taught Sunday school. You were an elder. You were involved in many of the different ministries here at the church. The impact of your ministry is going to be hard to replace. You have set the bar high in terms of service for us Bereans. But there's others. Blankets, like yourself, are warm and fuzzy. But those that have gotten to know you, in spite of your stern exterior and your proper dress on Sundays, know that you are warm and fuzzy, that you have the heart of a grandpa. Blankets also age gracefully, and there's a lot to be learned from that. At first, they come out of the package square and intact and fully without any wear or tear. But over a little bit of time, the corners, the contours of the blanket begin to stretch and lose their shape and form, much like you. But with love that you experience, the times you spend at the hospitals, as mentioned before, other things, you get a little threadbare. And even your pate lends itself to that image of being follically challenged. You've overcome that. But again, there's a resemblance to the lifestyle or the life cycle of the blanket. And lastly, there's a unique aroma that any of us that have had a special blankie, come on, who's got a special blankie? Probably still tucked away somewhere, right? A special blankie, when you bring it close, the experience of doing that gives you many warm memories. And as we think about your ministry here, that aroma, that sweet aroma rising up before the Lord is going to be a profound reminder of your effectiveness in service to your church. But lastly, blankets are loved and shared. And we all, as pastors and as the members gathered here today, want you to know how much we love you and how much we cherish you and your ministry here. And what I'd like to do is present you now with the blanket and ask you to go ahead and open the package.
Before I open this, now here's my impression so far from Brother Bixler. Fat, bald, and with an aroma.
That was a mic drop right there.
Offended by the color.
That's a crying tone.
We want George to use this as his prayer blanket because we need all the prayers we can get.
All right. Thank you very much, Terry. I didn't inquire. What was the score of that Michigan game yesterday?
Well, I will say, George, as the only two Michigan State graduates on the platform, they got the color right for the wrapping. All right, that's something we shared. Father George, and when I joined the elder body 7 years ago, I began to call George Father George for several reasons. Number one, I envisioned that if there were to be such a thing as a Baptist Pope, this is what he would look like. For the reasons Jerry stated, with his experience and his wisdom and his genuine love for his brother elders, he was fatherly in many ways. He is an admonisher. He has encouraged each of us in ways that we will take with us through the rest of our ministries. He's not been shy in helping us to, you know, grasp on to the wise quips that he's used in our meetings over the years. I have a repository of George Moore sayings. I'll use a few right now. One of them is the it's best to scrap a project at the earliest opportunity. I'm glad his ministry was not scrapped any earlier because he has served our church in ways that I hope to emulate and others as well. I remember the first time I had breakfast with George. We were sitting across from each other at the table and he ordered pancakes. And he put no less than 10 pats of butter on his pancakes. So, looking at him aghast, thinking about cholesterol and all of those other things that you might think about with 10 pats of butter, and wondering if he was going to have any pancakes with his butter, he reminded me, young man, the one thing that I'm not at risk here, but you are, is dying young. So mind your manners while I indulge in my butter. George has had few indulgences in his ministry here. Another thing that he's reminded us often, the men who serve Berean as lay elders, we serve the church for a coin of another country. That is something that I've taken with me in my service here, and he has led and taught me that our investment in the Bereans and for the cause of Christ, though it is for a coin of another country, does not mean that on occasion there can't be one small indulgence here and there. Do you agree? Something. So, without further ado, I would like to give you an indulgence that you might have mentioned once or twice in your ministry, especially during this season of budget preparation. You've mentioned more than once that we should have a line item for an elder Escalade. So, George, I feel privileged beyond words to present to you your own elder Escalade to take with you into your retirement. I think that you'll find time to drive it. It does do that, and you don't have to leave your chair under your blankie while you drive it because it has a remote control. So I present to you without further ado.
All right, before we go any further, Terry is about to come and share a few words related to George and his ministry and the scriptures, and we hope that that'll be an encouragement to you. But before we do that, number one, I wanted to thank my wife for all her help in helping this all come together. God bless you, honey. You were just huge in this, and I really appreciate it. Also, I would like the, not Jackie, but the other family members who are attending here, visiting here today for George's sake. Are there other family members here? Would you please stand up just for a moment? We'd like to welcome you right here. All right. Sit down. All right. Thank you so much. All right, Terry, come and share a few words if you would, please.
Well, this is an unusual time, observance, service, ceremony, whatever you want to call it. And I have grown accustomed to George looking over my shoulder while I preach. But this is ridiculous. You go ahead and you sip your little cup and you get under your blankie and you eat a muffin and you play with your little Escalade while I try to make a few appropriate comments here. And probably the first appropriate comment that I would like to make this morning is to recognize and thank George's lovely wife, Jackie. And When they came to this church, Jackie hit the ground running. She dove into the kitchen ministry. She just became active in every way and any way that she could, reminding me so much of my own wife. I have said before, standing here when the church so graciously has honored me for 20 years or 25 years or whatever the case may be, I have semi, but only semi-kiddingly, said, you would have gotten rid of me a long time ago, but you knew Michelle would have to go with me. And I feel that way about Jackie as well. She has just been the consummate partner, and both in life and in service here at Berean Baptist Church. So that's been it's been wonderful to see this couple. How many years, George, married?
59 years.
59 years. Wow. And to see how much in love they still are with the Lord and with each other and with serving the Lord so faithfully all these years, just a delight to witness that. Well, you know, when coming to a service like this, there's no biblical template, so to speak. We just kind of use basic biblical principles to shape what it is we are intending to do. And what we are intending to do today is honor a man who has proven himself to be honor worthy. George and Jackie have served us well here for the past 17 years or so. Now, as he steps aside from his role as elder at Berean, we thought it an apt time, an appropriate time to give honor to one who has so faithfully carried out his charter. How many people can really say that at the end of their lives? How many people can really say, I have fulfilled my charter. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. That's honor worthy, folks. I can't count the number of men, pastors, who have ended poorly, who have thrown it all away in some temptation or some malfeasance of some kind, some failure late in their ministry and late in their lives. Well, not so with George and Jackie. And so we want to honor you, George. And some might say, hey now, let's honor God and not man. And that would come naturally to you as Bereans, because we have so consistently warned you against man-centeredness. Many of you have been the recipient of my birthday card editing. Birthday cards often are very man-centered. We celebrate you today. And I cross that out and I say, we celebrate Jesus today. Well, George, you know, has been sending out the anniversary cards for all of these years. And what a wonderful ministry that has been. However, in all the years that I've known George, I do not think I have ever seen him or received a note from him that was handwritten. Am I wrong? I think that's right. And so there is a deep, dark secret here with George. He has sworn off penmanship as a part of his ministry. He types everything, cuts it out, puts it in there. It's all very neat and all very legible, and according to the very precise man that George is. But I was just thinking the other day, I've never seen... I want you to send me a handwritten note, George. Would you do that?
We'll see how you do here.
Okay. And so... we do want to keep God at the center and make much of Him rather than thinking God should make much of us. Well, I would say
that in honoring those who have honored God, we are honoring God. I would also say we are told to do so in the scriptures. 1 Timothy 5:3 says, honor widows who are truly widows. 1 Timothy 5:17, let the elders who rule well be considered worthy of double honor, especially those who labor in preaching and teaching. Romans 12:10, love one another with brotherly affection, outdo one another in showing honor. 1 Peter 2:17, honor everyone, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the emperor. So if anyone should still think that honoring a brother in Christ is somehow too man-centered, that those references really are not talking about what we're talking about here today, I would offer Paul's admonition to the Philippian church, who had sent Epaphroditus to minister to Paul while he was imprisoned. And while he was ministering to Paul, Epaphroditus fell sick, nigh unto death. And it so grieved the Apostle Paul that this man would come and minister to him and be so close to death while he recovered. And Paul determined to send Epaphroditus back to the church in Philippi. And he says this of Epaphroditus, so receive him in the Lord with all joy and honor such men. That puts it in the form of a command, rather than just a nice thing that we do today. It would be wrong for us to not honor such men. And so, it is a good thing that we do today. God says in 1 Samuel 2:30, I will hold in honor those who honor me. And if George has done anything in his life, and in these years at Berean, he has honored God. Thus, if God would honor him, we are not hesitant to do so. Let me give you just a brief history of George at Berean. When I came in 1992, this was a much different church. Those of you who are still here from those days, I think there's about 30, 35. Who are actually still here from those days. It was a difficult transition. I had so much to learn as a 37-year-old puppy pastor still, and there was just I was different, and I was kind of heading in a different direction. I didn't have some of the shepherding skills that former pastors might have had, and it was just a difficult transition. And we grew immediately, and as quickly as we would grow, people would filter out because they just could not abide either my personality or my kind of preaching or the way I was trying to take the church or whatever the case may be. So that went on for about 3 years. Then we had a period between 1995 and 2000 of real agreements and growth, and we just had a really good 5 years, but in 2000 some rumblings began to occur because there was talk among the pastors and others in the church about this whole elder dynamic, and should we be looking at that? We were the old Baptist model where deacons actually administered the church. They were the leaders of the church. The pastor was kind of the spiritual leader, but the deacons were the administrative leaders of the church, and we were kind of challenging that. And well, that really fell out into what happened in 2001, and it was a very difficult time for everybody involved. And God had that all planned. It was in God's sovereign purpose that would happen, but it was a very difficult time for us at the time. We probably lost about 100 people in that, and it really, God really used it to begin to shape our church into what we are now. Now, please don't misunderstand me. What we are now is not perfect, nor are we a finished product. But back then, in 2002, when George and Jackie showed up, We were probably about 30 to 35% of where we are today in terms of where we were on in our journey. And this is when George came to us. I think it was late 2002 or 2003 or so when George first showed up. And as a result, I think it was as a result of Jim Parks inviting him. Jim and George went way back together. And when George showed up, he cut quite a figure. Tall. Now we all have a tendency when we get older to shrink a little bit. And I'm no longer the 6 foot guy I used to be. The last time I was measured at the doctor, I was 5'11 and 3/4. That hurt. I can no longer say I'm a 6 footer. But George came in and he was tall. He was probably 6'7, 6'8 at that time. But tall and distinguished looking, right? With a head of luxurious hair, at least compared to now. Impeccably dressed, carrying an air of sophistication, a command of the language that was just off the charts, right? Debonair, erudite. George walked in with all of this. But he also walked in with a lifetime of theological study and learning. And one only needed to speak with him a few moments to know this guy knew his way around the Bible. I mean, you don't have to guess a man's theological bent when his email address is calvinist@huawei.com. So George began attending here and looking us over, and I remember the day he asked to meet with the entire pastoral staff to see where we stood on a number of things and where we felt the ministry was going and all of that thing, all of those things. Jerry was in that meeting, and Cliff Buttermore and Josh Waltz and myself. And it was 16 years ago, because I distinctly remember you telling us that you were 64 years old at that time. And now I'm 64 years old. George, I thought you were dead when you walked in at 64. Now I'm 64, right? And I'm half dead. So you already had evaluated the ministry and our positions to a large extent, and they had met his approval. But what he wanted to do in this meeting was to discern whether or not Berean could use him, and would we use him. You see, George was at that time in a church, amazingly enough to us, that was not using him. Whatever the reason, don't need to go into that. George just was not being used. His gifts were not being used the way that he wanted them to be used. And George, much like me today, was recognizing that the years of service and usefulness to the kingdom were dwindling. And he wanted to be used to teach, to lend his gifts where they might be helpful. I remember him saying, "I don't expect remuneration. I'm not looking for a paid position. I'm happy to be paid in the coin of another realm." That was the first time I had ever heard that terminology. And I thought, what apt terminology it is for everyone who gives their service free of charge to church and to others, like most all of you do here. I think Paul in Corinthians, if he had known George, he would have used this phrase to the Corinthians. He said, "I'm not charging you for ministry. I refuse to take anything from you." He could have said, "Because I'm getting paid in the coin of another realm." Well, that's what George has done. That's what all our lay elders do. That's what all of you do who serve the Lord here. Well, in that meeting, we assured him that We would have every intention of using him and use him. We have. I've often wondered if George ever regretted telling us he wanted to be used. Because in the past 16 years, we have worn him out. He has responded with faithfulness and insight and uncommon dedication to all we have assigned him to do. There are three laymen in my ministry experience who have stood out in terms of their extraordinary time and effort put into the ministry of the church, and George is one of those three men. Well, these past years with George have been a tremendous delight. His experience was invaluable to the four of us, still relatively young pastors trying to figure things out. His humor was always refreshing. His bon mots and little sayings have become legend and have been assimilated into the elder nomenclature. Things like when we would be trying to make a point of comparison and we weren't quite getting it right, he would say, "Gentlemen, not everything is the same thing." When we were considering a new initiative, and we would be all excited about it, and we're going to do this, and we're going to do this, and George almost invariably would say, "Men, you don't know anything until you know the cost of something." He would always bring us back to the realities and the practicalities of ministry. When speaking of our administration of something, he would say, "Management implies limited resources. No management is necessary if you have unlimited resources." And so we've always been brought back to our administrative and management responsibilities because we do not have unlimited resources. George would remind us of that. When any balked at spending money to hire outside expertise, George would say, "If you think paying for professional consultation is expensive, try pricing ignorance." When a meeting was dragging on and we were sawing sawdust, George would say, "The most important thing you can know about any meeting is when it's over." So we all knew when we were sawing sawdust, when at loggerheads in a discussion. And sometimes you can imagine we're all very passionate men, and at times we're at loggerheads in a discussion, and sometimes we can sharply disagree on certain things. And when in that position, George would often end the conversation with a, "Well, we may disagree, but I'll still have a muffin with you." These sayings are now ensconced in our elder book of wisdom. Thanks to George. And I think we all use them from time to time, saying, as our good friend Brother George would say, but how would I synopsize George's presence here at Berean these past 17 years or so? I would express the essence of what he has meant to us with these words. For such a time. You doubtless recognize this phrase from the book of Esther. Esther's cousin, Mordecai, is really, in my estimation, the main character in Esther. He was more like a father to Esther, and the text actually says he took her as his own daughter. It was Mordecai who was always working behind the scenes with the insightful wisdom and the impeccable counsel to Esther. It was Mordecai who came to Esther when the wicked Haman passed the decree that all the Jews in the kingdom should be exterminated. He counseled Esther to go into the king's presence, a new queen, unbidden, which was taking your life into your own hands because no one could come unto the king except the king held out the golden scepter to them and accepted them. And so, it could have resulted in her death, and she flinched just a bit. And he encouraged her with the words that God may have brought her into the palace as the king's wife for such a time. is this. What he was doing was expressing his belief in the sovereign planning and provision of God for his people in placing Esther where he had. I believe Mordecai might have said the same thing about himself, that he, Mordecai, had been placed in Esther's life to the end that Esther might now be in the king's life for such a time as this. I believe with all my heart that God sent George to us when we needed him most, for such a time as this. We were coming off the most trying time any of us had experienced in ministry. We were wounded. We were dazed. We were wandering. We thought we knew where we needed to go, but we were not sure of how to get there. We were trying to right the ship. We were trying to find ourselves and stabilize the church. And God knew we needed a man like George to join with our pastoral staff and be that steady and sure influence that would help head us in the right direction. We needed his maturity. We needed his composure. We needed his life experience. We needed his business acumen. We needed his spiritual stability. We needed his administrative skills. We needed his teaching skills. We needed his shepherding skills, as many of you know, having had George at your bedside. Needed his droll humor. He was always at the ready for a witticism or a quip. He was a man for all seasons. A man for such a time as this. But most importantly, he delivered us a brand of leadership that seemed to balance us all just a bit. Many would be the time when George would hold back in a discussion, just being quiet, until the rest of us had used up all of our ammunition. Then he would interject a perspective or a nuance which all of us had overlooked. And it led you to think, well, yeah, we should have thought about that. But George brought us at least one more thing. He brought us his friendship. George became our friend. He became the church grandfatherly. My kids, I don't know at the number of times that we've come home from a service and George has presented something, said something, done something in the service, and we would be talking about it at the dinner table, and one of my kids would say, I just love him. He brought us his friendship. We will miss George on the elder body in many ways. We are so glad that he has every intention to continue to serve here at Berean in the coming years. We will miss the skills and the experience he brought to the elder body. We will miss him at the Christmas staff dinner. We will miss his companionship in the elder room. George was our first lay elder, and he has set the template for all lay elders since, and all who are yet to come. So George, from a grateful elder body and a grateful church, thank you for your service.
Just before Rich comes and closes us out, I want to give George a few moments to say some things to us, and also know this. This is not the end of presentations. We have another special presentation moment at the end of the service to follow. George will preach. He will close in prayer. And I'm just going to want you to remain right where you're at. And we'll bring Jackie up on the platform at that time as well. So keep that in mind. But George, you come.
Please believe me when I tell you that a year or so ago when I told the elder body of my t- intention to resign on my 80th birthday, I had no idea that there would be something like this. 59 years ago, when Jacqueline and I were married and we were students at Michigan State, or I was, I had the prescience to marry her on the evening of her college graduation. That was done, I think, influenced greatly by my parents, who knew that somebody was going to have to support me. And so we married. She already had landed the job, and the rest, as they say, is history. But when we were a young couple, we purposed at that time that someday we would have a library, and we even talked about the things we would have in it, classical literature and history and biography, such as that. But in my retirement, I have taken the time to go to my library and pull out a number of classics and read them, among them Tom Sawyer. And I'm reminded of an incident from Tom Sawyer as I speak to you this morning. Remember how that Tom and Huck were fortunate enough to attend their own funeral? You remember that? So this kind of impressed me very much that way this morning. I love the people of Berean. It is my ambition and my expectation, until the Lord will call me away, to stay among you and to work with you. I think that maybe the nights where I might pick my way across the snow and ice of a hospital parking lot, those days are probably behind me. But I love you. I still intend to be a presence with you and to make whatever contribution here that I can make. That would be a great thing for me. I hope that will be many more years. I look at some of the young elders that we've taken on, and I feel a real sense of regret that at my age I will not see the full ministry of these young men as they bring what God has gifted them with to this ministry. So we love you. I expect still to be with you. And again, I want to tell you that I'm absolutely surprised. And Jerry, I thank you. And Colette, I know you were the brains behind it, but for making this morning possible.
We failed to mention that just about 4 weeks ago, George, in fact, did turn 80, and I would like us to sing happy birthday to this brother right now as Rich comes and closes us out. Join me, won't you?
I think it was about 6 years ago when I was summoned to George's house, and I think I can honestly say I really didn't know what it was that he was asking me there for, but I was a little bit anxious to go there, and I got to sit down in George's library in his den. And they had appointed George to be the one who would ask if I would want to begin the elder process. And this was something that I had really desired. And it's really one of the most special moments of my life. And George is linked to that. And it made that moment that much more special. That it was George, it gave it that gravity that you were sitting there with George, and so I'm so grateful for that. And like many in this congregation, Jerry alluded to it. George is just one of the people that I view as a father figure. I've been very blessed. I didn't get to spend too much time with my dad, but I've been very blessed in my life to have men who filled a lot of that role, and George is certainly on that list. George he loves you, and the way that you can know that somebody really loves you is if they are willing to be a truth teller, to tell the truth in love. And that is something that is so special about George and that I love and appreciate. So we love you, George. And now if you please pray with me. Father, from you comes salvation. You alone are our rock, our salvation, and our fortress. With you, we will not be shaken. Change has come to us in that our brother George, whom we love, will take on a different role among your people. But you never change. George's salvation and glory rests on you, who have always been and always will be his mighty rock and refuge. May your servant trust in you at all times and pour out his heart before you. Please strengthen George out of your endless supply of power and steadfast love, that he would continue to proclaim the good news of your son, that he would continue to serve your children and finish the days and good works you have appointed for him. Knowing the time is short for every one of us, we are but a breath and altogether lighter than a breath. And knowing you will render to man according to his work. Praise be to you, Father, for the obedience of Christ and for the Spirit of truth who is our helper, without which who could stand? You are the giver of every good gift, and we count our brother as one to be treasured to your glory. Thank you for using him to bless, comfort, instruct, encourage, advise, and bear our burdens. Pray for us, to correct us in love, and to be an example inasmuch as he follows Christ. Father, may our love for George and his love for us grow so that others would know that we belong to Jesus. It is in his name that we ask these things. Amen.